All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament once again. Does your Bible fall open to Jonah? Does it? Yeah. I normally can get it on the first try. All right, we're going to look at Jonah chapter 4 tonight, and I entitled the message tonight, Jonah's Final Lesson, but I didn't even get to the lesson, I'm sorry. So I don't know what to call the message tonight, just call it Jonah chapter 4, I guess, I don't know. Let's begin reading, please, in verse 1, just to refresh ourselves. In verse 1, the Bible says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Now, is there anything to get upset about? Huh? I mean, where's your heart if you know this about God and then he does what you know he is? Why would you get upset? That doesn't make sense, does it? But that's Jonah. Nothing makes sense in the book of Jonah. Verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Bless his heart. All right, verse 4. "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Doest thou well to be angry? And the Lord's saying to Jonah the same thing I just said a moment ago. Seriously, Jonah? That's what's going to upset you? That's what's going to make you angry? Because you went into town and preached what God wanted you to preach, and then all these people repented of their sin and got right with the Lord, and now you're upset about that because he did not slay them. He didn't send fire out of heaven to burn them up like Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, you see what I'm saying? So it's just basically how in the world, Jonah, the Lord is saying, why are you angry? What is wrong with you? Have you ever not just wanted to ask some folks that sometime? What is wrong with you? You know? Sometimes we do things that just don't make a whole lot of sense, right? Yeah. All right, so look at verse 5. Now we read on. It says, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth." A booth. That's a little like lean-to, a little place to get the sun off your head. All right, so he made a little booth and sat under it in the shade, in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. All right, I'm going to, let me read verse 6 and verse 7, and then we'll stop. All right, it says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah." That was nice, wasn't it? Hey, wasn't that a nice thing God did for Jonah here? Yeah, I think so. "And the Lord prepared a great a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered." Oh, I see a bad day coming, don't you? And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. A vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Now that's twice in one chapter. That's twice in one chapter he said that. And God said to Jonah, again, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So that's going to be Jonah's final lesson. Now, we're not going to get there tonight. I'm going to talk about something else tonight. But let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless, and then the message. Now, our Father, thank you so much for Jonah and for putting this book in the Bible. And Father, one of the reasons that we know the Bible is the Word of God is because you tell us not just the good things about those in the Bible, but Father, you also tell us the bad things. And certainly, Jonah was a person just like all the rest of us. He was prone to anger. He was prone to disappointment, and he wanted everything his way. Sounds just like 2026 in my book. But Father, I pray you'll help us to see ourselves in Jonah tonight, and then also to realize that we need to depend on you and trust you through all the snares of life, through all the problems that come upon us. And Father, we are all going to have them. So I pray you'll help us to learn how to trust you and Father, to lean upon your will and your understanding for our lives. So bless us now, Father. We need your blessing. And I pray you'll help me as I speak. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we saw last Sunday evening that God's way is the perfect way. All right, that was the whole gist of last Sunday night's message. God's way is always the right way. It's always the sound way. And it is especially the best way. Now, what we see in this final chapter of the book of Jonah is the fact that Jonah did not think God was doing things the right way. Now, don't raise your hand, all right? Certainly none of us in this room have ever thought that God was not doing things the right way. None of us ever thought that, I'm sure, right? All right, none of us would be as brazen as to think that God made a mistake. All right, God's made a mistake. Well, let me just stop right here and say, no, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. You can trust the fact that God is, that God's way is the perfect way. Now, Jonah, you remember, went into this huge city, the city of Nineveh. It was a huge walled city, but they did not expect the growth and the population that grew out of Nineveh, and so the city began to pour out of the walls of the city that were built around it, And it became just as large on the outside as it was on the inside. So there's this massive number of people who are living in Nineveh. And God sent Jonah there with a message. Do you remember that message? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jonah did not want to go, you'll remember, but he did. He finally went, and when he got there, God gave him a message. Yet 40 days, that's it, 40 days, and God is going to overthrow Nineveh. All right, now, think about this. All right, everybody, look here. All right, think about this, all right? Jonah spoke Hebrew, all right? That was his language. Jonah spoke Hebrew. The Assyrians, who were the people who lived in Nineveh, did not speak Hebrew. They spoke Assyrian. And yet, here comes this little Hebrew guy, this little Jewish guy, and he's got a one-sentence message, all right? One-sentence message. Now, in our English Bible, that message is 8 words long. 8 words. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In Hebrew, it's 5 words. And then in Assyrian, it's 5 words. You say, well, then how did, if they don't speak the same language, how did they understand Jonah's Hebrew tongue preaching that message? How did they know? Well, the answer to that is quite simple. There are two words in that sentence that are almost identical in both languages. And the two words are 40 days, all right? The 40 days and overthrown. And so when Jonah came in and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, everybody knew what he said. They all knew that this was a Hebrew prophet, and God gave him a message. And so he now comes into the city, and he is proclaiming and preaching that message from God. Now also, remember that Jonah has been 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that great fish, that whale. 3 days and 3 nights. And it is pretty well widely known that the stomach acid in that whale's belly would have turned his clothing a dull whitish color. And it also would have stained his clothing, or his skin. It would have made him a frightful thing to look at. It would have dyed his hair. It would have caused his face to radiate and shine. And so here comes now this little guy, this little Hebrew fella, preaching a message from God Almighty, and everything about him is just as strange as it can be, but he does not back down. And for 3 days and 3 nights, he's walking the length of the city preaching that one sentence, 5 words, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, think of this, folks. This is the amazing thing. When Jonah preached the message, at the end of it, the city repents of their sin. From the king of Nineveh all the way down to the youngest child who could understand, they all repented, the people repented of their sins. The greatest revival in human history. The greatest revival there, as Trump would say, nobody's ever seen anything like it. All right? Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Well, that was the revival in Nineveh. Nobody had ever seen anything like that. Oh, by the way, nobody's ever seen anything like that since. It has stood as the greatest revival that ever took place in human history. And yet, Jonah was angry. Not just angry, Jonah was very angry. He was mad that these people repented. As one Hebrew scholar put it this way, he said, Jonah was hot under the collar. Hot under the collar. And the message of the prophet insinuates to me that in 40 days from the day when Jonah started, God was going to bring his wrath and judgment upon the city. And that's what Jonah thought. Jonah did not see room for repentance here. He thought, oh, they're too wicked. Those people are too violent. Those people are too mean. They're not going to repent. And so Jonah said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And then he said, I'm going to go out here and watch this. So he went out from the city, probably on a little knoll, and he built himself a little lean-to out there so he could watch God destroy Nineveh. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And when it didn't happen, that's when Jonah got angry. But you know, as you read the book of Jonah, now think about this, there is no place in the book of Jonah that discusses what would happen if Nineveh repented. Right? There's nothing in the book about that. Jonah didn't think they would. He thought they were too bad. Too wicked. Don't forget, they are Israel's enemy. They're Israel's enemy. They've already been coming down into Israel, the northern 10 tribes. They've already been coming down in there and capturing people and taking them back and stealing everything they could get their hands on. So they're Israel's enemy. And Jonah was sitting there thinking to himself, you know, these people are not going to get right with God, but yet God called me to go in there and preach to them, and I did, so they're not going to get right. I'm going to go over here and sit down and watch the show. That's what he was thinking. That's what was going through his mind. But he got angry because God didn't do it. Now, folks, listen. Listen. Jonah did not like the fact and that God's mercy and grace would forgive sin. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you are thankful that God forgives sin? Yes, indeed. You see, when you're on the receiving end of it, you're thankful, aren't you? Let me ask you this. Don't you think that the people in Nineveh, when 40 days passed no judgment, don't you think they were thankful that God forgives sin? Yes, indeed. But old Jonah's sitting out there angry. Don't you think the Lord was just thrilled after the Ninevites repented and fell on their faces and put on sackcloth and ashes and humbled themselves before the Lord? But Jonah did not think that the people of Nineveh were worthy of forgiveness. And that's sad. In his mind, the only thing that would please him was for death and destruction to come with such a powerful force that it would cause all of the surrounding nations to vow that they were never going to attack Israel. That's what Jonah was hoping for. Lord, zap them, you know. Send the fire and brimstone down like you did on Sodom and Gomorrah. Let the whole world know you better not lift your finger against Israel. But God didn't judge them because they repented. You know, when you repent, you get a new heart. And when you get a new heart, then all of a sudden you don't want to just go rampage and kill people and live like an animal. And Jonah should have been happy about that, but he wasn't. So Jonah was angry, and he decided to go over and sit on a hillside and watch God judge them. Now, that leads me to the first point that I want to give you tonight. I want you to notice, though, all right, I want you to notice, look at verse 5. It says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. But now look down, please, at verse 6. And the Lord God prepared. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Because the first thing I want you to see here is that God, once again, comes to work in Jonah's heart. God didn't give up on Jonah either. I'm glad he didn't. God didn't give up on the people of Nineveh when they repented. He withheld his judgment. But he also didn't give up on Jonah. Man, I'm glad God doesn't give up on us. I am so thankful for that. God asked him in verse 4, doest thou good to be angry? And folks, this chapter continues the record of God dealing with Jonah. God had done some amazing things with Jonah in this book, in this story, as well as with the people of Nineveh. Folks, that was the greatest revival in world history. God had done some wonderful things there. But there was still much to be done in the prophet's heart. So the Lord revisits him to bring him one final lesson. Now, the Apostle Paul reminded the church at Philippi in chapter 1 and verse 6, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means, folks, that we have a promise in the Bible that God is going to just continue working in our lives. You know, it is God's will, it is God's purpose in your life and in my life. It is God's will, God's purpose that He work in you and in me to make us more into the image of His dear Son every single day. And He works on us. He just stays right on us. He stays right with us and doesn't give up. And I'm thankful that He does. Now, you know, sometimes in that work that the Lord is doing, sometimes He has to get a little rough with the clay, all right? I mean, you know, sometimes we don't turn out because we're a little stubborn. Okay, we're a lot stubborn. And we don't been to hit to the potter's hands. And so he ends up saying, all right, well, and he smashes the clay. Ouch. Ouch. How many have ever had an ouchie? Raise your hand. How many have ever had one of those spiritual spankings? Raise your hand. Yes, we all have, haven't we? Man, I'm telling you, God's grabbed me by the nape of the neck many a time and just wore me out. But what's he doing? He's molding us into the image of his dear son. And you know, when God does that, don't be a Jonah and get mad at God. God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. He knows exactly what he's doing. And this is for sure how the Lord dealt with Jonah as the Lord continues to work in his life. Now notice the question God asked was when Jonah was so upset. In verse 4, doest thou well to be angry? You see, God asked him that when he was angry. He wasn't hiding anything from God. God knew what was in his heart. The question was, doest thou good to be angry? And let me just say right here that no. No, you don't do well when you are angry. All right? Nobody does. Nobody does. And as we go through life, folks, we should not go through life angry. But have you ever seen folks, you just sometimes want to say, why are you so angry? Now, you kind of back off a little bit because you think, well, they might knock my head off. Sometimes you don't want to push angry people. But you sometimes, though, sure want to ask the question, don't you? And I think the Lord would like to ask some of us, doest thou good to be angry? Folks, don't get bitter at God. Don't get angry at God. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what has happened. No, I don't. But I know that God is a compassionate, caring, and loving God. And God does not take you through the deep water to drown you. God takes you through the deep water to teach you how to swim. All right? God's not trying to hurt you. God's trying to strengthen you. But you want to pass the test. You don't want to fail it. You remember that verse in Ephesians 4 and verse 26 where Paul said, be angry and sin not. Now, we ought to be angry at the devil. And we ought to be angry at unrighteousness. We ought to be angry at foolishness. But he's not saying, get a sinful disposition here. All right, he's not telling us to get mad. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I've had folks tell me when they were angry that, I'm not angry. I just have righteous indignation. Well, let me see here. Where's that? See if I can find that. It's got to be here. Somebody said it was here. Let's see. Anybody seen that verse? I haven't seen that verse. No, be angry and sin not. Righteous indignation. I had one fellow tell me that righteous indignation was permitted by God. I said, well, la-ti-da. He said, what's that mean? I said, that's news to me. Well, it's in the Bible somewhere. Yeah, like cleanliness is next to godliness is, you know. By the way, Ben Franklin said that. All right, and Ben Franklin was not exactly a role model for life. All right, yeah, he was a smart politician, but he lived a wretched life. Jonah's anger was certainly not righteous indignation. You know what righteous indignation is? That's when you sit around and you say, I can be angry, but nobody else can. That you being selectively angry. Yeah. God's mercy and God's grace was extended to the people of Nineveh, and Jonah did not agree with God sparing the people, and he got angry. And so God said, doest thou good, doest thou well to be angry? And the answer to that question should have been a resounding no. But Jonah didn't answer the question, you will notice. Oh, you can be angry at sin. And you can be angry at the devil. And you can be angry at the fruit of sin. But it is never a good thing to simply be angry, especially to be angry against God. Folks, listen. I've said to you from this pulpit 1,000 times that I am not your enemy. I'm not your enemy. There's only one who is your enemy, and that's the devil. So if you're going to be mad at anybody, don't be mad at me. I'm not your enemy. You ought to get mad at the devil. He's the enemy. But don't ever get mad at God, whatever you do. I run into folks all the time who are angry at God. But I'm telling you, Christian, you cannot blame God for the things that go awry in your life. It's not God's doings. It's not God's fault. All right? So don't get mad at the Lord. A person gets angry with God, what happens? Well, he quits serving for one thing. Yeah. They quit serving. They quit coming to church. I've never understood that. You know, when you're having trouble, that's when you ought to be in church. You stop growing. When you get angry, you stop growing. You never witnessed anybody. You never tell anybody how to get to heaven. And here's another one. You don't ever make spiritual decisions when you're angry. You're just not going to make spiritual decisions. Can you hear God asking you tonight, doest thou well to be angry? The answer is no. Never right to be angry. Never right to be angry. Now, folks, here's a wonderful lesson. It's a lesson to learn, it's a lesson to know, and it's a lesson to understand. And here's the lesson. God Almighty is the eternal God of the universe. And God Almighty, I could stand here all night quoting you scripture about how God's ways are perfect. And how God never makes a mistake. God never underestimates things. God never overestimates things. I could quote you scriptures till the chili is cold as to how God is just and true and always righteous and on and on and on. The point is, folks, our God, the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, our God, is the God that is the who knows the beginning from the end. All right? He knows what you're facing. He knows the trials that you're dealing with. He knows your health. He knows everything about you. Hey, he even knows how many hairs you have on top of your head. What? I was just waiting. I knew something was coming. There was too long of a delay there, though. Did you notice that? I think the Holy Spirit punched him, woke him up. But folks, God's ways, His ways and His will, they're always right. And we should never get angry with His ways. We've all been on the receiving end of adversity and trial that we just know the Lord could have prevented. And I've told you all the story many times about how devastated I was when just not even a year after Karen and I got married, my mother passed away, massive heart attack. Bang, gone. No warning. No warning, nothing. Just she was here one minute and in heaven the next. And I was devastated when that happened. I was driving from, I was preaching in a meeting up in Williamsport, where they played the Little League Baseball World Series. And I was in a meeting up there, and I was driving home on a Wednesday morning, and Fran called me and said, what you doing? And I said, driving home. She said, are you where you could pull off? And I said, well, no, not really. She said, well, you might want to get off the road and just park the car for a minute. And I said, oh no, what's happened? And she told me that Pastor Stainer had passed away and gone home that morning. I just didn't understand it. I didn't get it. And I was angry at God for that. But folks, listen, God never makes a mistake. And I had a hard time dealing with some of those. But God never makes a mistake. And we just have to keep reminding ourselves that God never makes a mistake. This is one thing I know about God. I know that I am not God. And I know that He is God. And I know that as God, He can do what He will. Amen. And I'm supposed to accept it and trust Him. He knows what He's doing. Now, it's hard to do sometimes. But there is nobody any more unhappy than a Christian who is angry at God over something that they cannot control. Now you let that sink into you. But God never makes a mistake. Never. Never. His ways are not my ways, and my ways aren't His ways. And I know that we should let God be God. But boy, sometimes when God doesn't do what we want God to do, we get angry. Now, folks, listen. Here's the simple truth. You're not going to live forever on this planet. You're just not. You just stop and think about it. Everybody who has ever been born, except for two, everybody that's ever been born on this planet has died. And so, when the Lord takes your 114-year-old dad, He's not mad at you. So don't you get mad at Him. All right? Let Him be God. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Let God be God. And you just keep trusting him and go on. The reason that everybody knows about Jonah, when you break it down, all we know, of course, you know, the whale, we understand that. But here's why everybody talks about Jonah. He couldn't handle life. He just couldn't handle it. Go to Nineveh. They're mean. I'm not going to Nineveh. That's a big city. Go to Nineveh. Nope. So God put him through the storm, didn't he? When he came out of that whale after being in there 3 days and three nights, he went running to Nineveh. Not walking, running. And you'd have thought that that would have been enough to teach him to trust the Lord. But it wasn't. And God asked him, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Nope. And it doesn't do any of us well to be angry at God either. Let me ask you, has something happened, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? You blame God for it, and you're still not over it? Maybe that's why you've never done much for the Lord. You got something in your heart that needs to get right. So let's trust the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Folks, ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well? And the answer to that is no. No, you're not doing yourself any favors. You say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know what happened." I don't know what happened, but I know that God is God. And I know that you would be 10,000 times more happier if you just let God be God. I don't understand some of the things the Lord does. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand them. But we can't allow ourselves to get bitter. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many will say, "Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart right here, right now, about this very problem. And I want you to pray that I'll get to victory here." Would you just slip your hand up all over this building and let's pray about that? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. You know, that's what I figured. That's a lot of hands. And that's exactly what I figured. How about upstairs in the balcony? Pastor, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Good. Good. Amen. All right, Father, you know our needs tonight. I pray you'll meet those needs in our hearts. And Father, help us to be accepting of your will. Sometimes it's a little difficult to handle, but Father, please help us to be strong and not to allow the evil devil to get in there and get us angry against you. Father, no matter what anybody says or what the devil says or what anybody says, you are fair and you are just and you are holy and righteous. And so, Father, help us to just trust you as you are and give us the victory here tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.